Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we'd like to talk about two critical current events, Hurricane Harvey and the Denver Post story on the increasing deaths in Colorado from marijuana. So Hurricane Harvey, why are there natural disasters? Why does this happen? How can we best help? What's going on? What's the latest in Houston and in Texas and Louisiana? And how do we avoid, as Christians, being superstitious and immature when we discuss things like hurricanes and other natural disasters with others? How do we avoid being superstitious and losing credibility and being irrelevant? So we want to talk about that. And then also, on Friday, the Denver Post ran a story about the increasing number of deaths on our roadways in Colorado and the increasing number of drivers who have killed people who have marijuana in their system. Our webpage, kgov.com/pot, we have heard from parents and pastors as far away as from Maine that this is the best article, or those who listen to it, the best podcast, the best streaming, or even the best YouTube video on the subject. So if you haven't availed yourself, it's kgov.com/pot. The Denver Post headline, traffic fatalities linked to marijuana are up sharply in Colorado. And then they ask the question, is legalization to blame? Well, hey man, let's smoke some weed and figure it out. So authorities say the numbers cannot be definitively linked to legalized pot. Well, they can't definitively find their nose with their finger, so I wouldn't put much stock in their uncertainty. Now, Hurricane Harvey. Parts of Houston have had 30 inches of rain in the last 3 days. The death toll so far, 5 people have been killed. If this storm had hit a poor nation, it would have been hundreds of people dead. 30,000 people so far are in shelters. The governor has called out 3,000 National Guard members. They've been activated, well, federal and state guard members. The Houston International Airport is closed for at least another couple days. Now, how does this rainfall, this storm, how does it stack up historically? Well, if you don't count the global flood, because if you count that, then everything else is dwarfed. But not counting the global flood, in North America, this is the most amount of rain to ever fall in a region, and it's fallen on the fourth most populated city in the United States. Forecasters are still warning, as of right now, Monday afternoon, that more rain is on its way. The rivers will continue to rise, and the floodwaters may continue to rise in areas. They expect streets and neighborhoods that are not yet inundated to get flooded. And the flooding is going far beyond Houston, through portions of southeastern Texas and into Louisiana. There are enormous rescue efforts underway. One of the more horrifying reports, and a photo captured it, was inside of a nursing home with patients sitting or floating in water. They were quickly rescued. You know, a lot has been learned since Hurricane Katrina. Remember, Michael Brown was the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. George W. Bush was president. Now, Brown, what is he doing today? After the Katrina catastrophe, he's a Denver radio talk show host. So, have you listened to Michael Brown? Michael on his show doesn't bring biblical wisdom to his comments. It's tragic, really, because of the people who listen to him, not a huge audience, but of the people who listen to Michael Brown, it's tragic that so much of his counsel is godless. To the ungodly, there's a way that seems right, but its end is the way of destruction. So I think today, with Hurricane Harvey, part of the federal government's effort is whatever Michael Brown did, do the opposite. And so it seems that the response to Hurricane Harvey will be far more competent than what happened with Katrina. And of course, Katrina was a lesson. And so it's wise to learn from the failures of the past. So, next question. How do you avoid being a superstitious Christian? So many Christians remain immature throughout their entire Christian life. They remain immature. So when you talk with others about natural disasters, do you spiritualize it? Do you become God's spokesman and decide to anoint yourself as one of his prophets and tell people, well, God is the one who steered Hurricane Harvey into Houston. God did that. Do you do that? And if you do, you should be sorry. Because just like if somebody impersonates an officer in the military or issues orders without authority, imagine doing that to God. How horrific that is. Now, when God judged people in the scriptures, the people being judged, even the wicked people, they knew that they were being judged by God. The kings, the emperors, the pharaohs, they knew. Just ask the king of Jericho. Oh, you don't have access to him? Well, someday you'll see him. Ask Pharaoh. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. Right? Ask King Ahab or Queen Jezebel. Today, it's only the superstitious Christians who think that God is judging. Do you get that? With miracles, when God did signs and wonders in the Bible, everybody knew the signs and wonders had occurred. Everybody knew, and that there was no natural explanation for them. Everybody knew, including the people who hated God. They knew. The people who wanted to kill Jesus Christ, they knew that he was doing miracles, and they hated him all the more for it. Today, it's only the Christians who are gullible and superstitious and immature who think that they went to church and one of their church members had a leg shorter than the other and the pastor pulled on the leg and now his leg is really longer than the other. He pulled on the wrong leg. No. Actually, they claim that, well, Brother Bill, your one leg is shorter than the other. Didn't you ever realize that? And he said, no, I never noticed it. Well, come here, come up here. We need to make your legs the right length. And they yank on the one leg. And then they say that God did a miracle and both his legs are now the same length. Congratulations. That kind of thing was normal at a church I visited down south in Louisiana. And right after the service, we went to lunch. Nice restaurant with the pastor and all his friends. And so one of the elders of the church is trying to tell a story of a miracle that happened like that. And people are saying, oh, could you pass the salad dressing? Could you do this? Nobody really cared about his miracle he was telling about. Nobody really cared because it's make-believe. They all do it at the church, but it's all make-believe. It is fake. So, fake news, at the March for Life, Colorado's March for Life back in January, earlier in this year, the message was that fake news is not only from the Democrats. Fake news is not only from the Democrats. Fake news is also from the Republicans and from the Christians. And that's tragic because we have the greater accountability to the Lord. So don't be superstitious. when a tower in Jerusalem fell and killed 18 people, you read about this in the Gospel of Luke, and the superstitious believers of the Lord's day, they were saying, oh, look what happened. God killed those people. Boy, why did God judge those people? And Jesus got mad. And he said, you think those 18 people killed by when that tower fell, you think they were the worst sinners in Jerusalem? He got mad. And I tell you, no, stop that. But ask God to work in your own life, in your own heart, your own mind. Get your act together with the Lord. Grow. Don't be stuck as an immature believer for your whole life. And if you listen to teachers who are false teachers, who talk about the blood moons as though they're signs of the end times, or they talk about the eclipse as though it's something unusual and it's a sign of the end times, then mark them as false teachers. Don't be a fool and continue to imbibe of what they're selling you. Just don't do that. They have a responsibility not to be a false teacher. But you have a responsibility, as the Bible says, to mark those who speak, thus saith the Lord, and are not speaking what the Lord has said. So, why are there natural disasters? There were not always natural disasters. In fact, before the global flood, you wouldn't have had hurricanes. You know what's interesting? You got all the flat earth crazy people, the flat earthers. And you also have the geocentrists who think the earth is a globe, but it doesn't move, it doesn't spin, and the universe spins around it every 24 hours. So the planet Jupiter would have to be traveling at faster than the speed of light. But aside from matters like that, hurricanes rotate, they spin in opposite directions in the northern and the southern hemisphere. If you pay attention, even minimally, to weather reporting or science, you've known that. It's obvious if you think about the iconic photos of Hurricane Katrina spinning in the Gulf, and now the photos of Hurricane Harvey, they rotate counterclockwise. Counterclockwise. In the southern hemisphere, below the equator, from our perspective, they rotate clockwise. And why is that? Well, the physics of it are well known. What is it called? The Coriolis effect. That's when you have a sphere that's spinning, gases on the surface of the sphere will end up rotating in opposite directions. So you could look into the Coriolis effect, or you could go to our website, kgov.com/flat earth, or kgov.com/geocentrism. So there are so many natural disasters that occur today that would not have occurred had mankind not rebelled and fallen. So when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they not only brought a destruction upon themselves, but because of the ecosystem, the way God made all the living organisms on the earth, that destruction also went into the thorns and thistles and animals. Death, the Bible says that the entire creation groans in this corruption. And eventually, also because of the fall, but for other reasons, eventually there was a global flood. And that global flood was the beginning of natural disasters. Hurricanes, for example, would not have formed before the flood. The earth spun more slowly. We had a 360-day year before the flood. After the flood, because of the melting of the outer core, the earth's outer core is melted. It's like the equivalent of seven moons melted. And that destabilized the mantle and the crust. And as a result of that, we have earthquakes. And when that rock melted, it compressed by about 50%. And so the earth shrank. But because it was spinning, like a figure skater pulling in her arms when she's spinning, she ends up spinning more rapidly. So the Earth compressed and it began to spin more rapidly, another 5 1/4 days for every orbit around the sun. And so that faster rotation of the Earth is one of the factors that brings about hurricanes. There would not have been hurricanes. There wouldn't have been thunderstorms, millions of lightning strikes per day around the world, and we end up with forest fires. Forest fires, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, and all these natural disasters. We talked about this recently in a program titled, Did It Rain Before the Flood? That was back in July. You might want to hear that, a really, really fun program. Did It Rain Before the Flood? That was one of our Friday shows. On Friday, we brand this program Real Science Radio. So you might enjoy that. So why are there natural disasters? There would have been none if mankind had not rebelled against God. The Lord made us to live forever, and we, in fact, do exist forever, and we either get to live with him or without him, depending on our request. If we hate the Lord, if we are apathetic toward our Creator God, who came to earth to save us when Jesus Christ went to the cross and he was raised from the dead so that we could overcome death ourselves, that is separation from God, and live forever with him, we can do that. And those who hate God or want nothing to do with God or couldn't care less about what Jesus Christ has done for them, they get their wish. They live forever without God. The name of that place where you get to live forever without God, it's called hell. That's the name of it. If God allowed all those people into heaven, then heaven would become hell. So then we just call heaven hell. But the way that God created us, if we had not rebelled against him, there would not be natural disasters. Has God ever intervened in human history and brought judgment? He absolutely has. That is distinguished in the Bible from when it rains, because it rains on the just and the unjust. So people who think that every perversion, every betrayal, every lack of unity in the body of Christ, every divorce, every child being dismembered at Planned Parenthood, that all of that is part of God's eternal decree, that God thought up homosexual porn videos before the homosexuals did, and that God decreed it in advance, they're all wrong. They're bringing shame onto the Lord. They don't realize it yet, but they will, and they'll apologize. That's why there are no Calvinists in heaven. I mean, there are Calvinists who are Christians, and they're saved, and when they die, they go to heaven, but they're no longer Calvinists. You're not sure about that? Well, we can touch base on that when we see each other up there. So, how can we best help? Well, be careful with donations to the United Way, to the Red Cross. You know, large organizations that are often overly political and politically correct. Find ways to help, if possible, that are one-on-one. With Hurricane Katrina, when we found out about our own friends who were there, who were struggling, we found ways. It's difficult. Many of us live month to month, you know, paycheck to paycheck. I pastor a small church. It's a homeschool church, Denver Bible Church. And we have a radio show on one radio station, AM 670 KLTT. It's the most powerful Christian station in the country, but still we're on one station. We have our website, kgov.com, and we didn't win the Powerball. Did we win the Powerball last week? No, we didn't win the Powerball. So we have limited funds, and when disasters like this happen, your heart goes out, and you want to help everybody, and you help who you can. And it's often so much more effective when you help an individual when you're involved in their lives. Whether you help them by helping them move, if just like we had Katrina transplants to all around the country, including here in Denver, Dr. Ed Boudreau, professor of chemistry at New Orleans University. He ended up here as the president of our Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. Meets once a month. The first meeting happened back 18 years ago, and it was in the living room of our home, back when the home was brand new. We hardly had any furniture. And so Ed Boudreau, he just recently went to be with the Lord and to rejoin his beloved wife who had preceded him. And so they're now with the Lord. But one way of helping is there may be Harvey transplants. There will be, perhaps, probably thousands of them. Another way is to help people who you know one-on-one, or your family helping their family, or your church helping their church. Of course, when there are Christian ministries that will come to the aid, like Samaritan's Purse and others, if you vetted them, if you know that they use the funds to actually help the people in need, then by all means. But you got to be careful. The horror stories of the federal government and these charities paying for people in New Orleans to live in government trailers for months going into years, and people who would not work for years because, well, this disaster hit and now I'm entitled. My employer's no longer around and I'm entitled for the next years. And family members offering to put up their extended family members, but they said, no, the government's putting us up in this hotel. We'd rather stay here. And they stayed there for many, many months. And some just never decided never to go back to work. So you got to be wise. Okay, now I want to keep my word. I want to get to marijuana in Colorado. So we're going to change topics. And again, our website, kgov.com/pot. The Denver Post article on Friday reported that marijuana, and they're radically pro-pot, bunch of potheads over there at the Post. Marijuana is involved in more and more fatal crashes. In 2013, just after we had decriminalized marijuana in November of 2012, drivers tested positive for pot in about 10% of all fatal crashes that next year. By last year, it was 20%. So it had doubled. And that's the number of drivers who killed people. Drivers who killed people. So we're talking about people being killed. And what makes that worse is this, that the number of people being killed on our highways has increased significantly. So the percentage has doubled and the overall number of people being killed has significantly increased. And the increase has risen sharply every year since 2013. Every year. Now, Dan Kaplis on a competing radio station, he's one of the other voices in Denver for recriminalizing marijuana. He mentioned that the coroners around the state, many of them are politically correct. They don't want to test for marijuana. Or if they test, some of them don't report. Some family members have lost a fiance, a brother, a son, a daughter, killed by somebody high on marijuana, and they haven't even been told, they weren't even told that the driver had been smoking pot. And if the coroner finds alcohol, many of them will stop at that point, just satisfied. And even though the mixture of alcohol and marijuana is especially dangerous. And then there's an excuse, you know. They say, well, THC, and it's true what they say, but they use it as an excuse to dismiss all the people being killed by potheads in Colorado. They say, well, THC stays in the system long after the effect wears off. That's totally true. But talking about actual behavior, in the Denver Post on Friday, they said in 2016, of all the drivers who survived and tested positive for marijuana, they had been using marijuana within a few hours of being tested. How's that? So what do you think? That's just the ones who survived and the ones who killed hadn't used it in 2 weeks? Of course not. So the Post said that increasingly potent levels of marijuana, we've talked about that for years here on Bob and Yurt Live, were found in positive testing drivers who died in crashes in the Front Range. That's in Denver, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins. You know, we have this limit of how much marijuana before you're considered to be impaired. Well, with marijuana, some of the drivers had 5 times the limit. One had 22 times the limit. 22 times the limit. And we've got people here in our state, the population is smoking 500,000 joints per day, each day. Bunch of potheads in Colorado. 500,000 marijuana cigarettes smoked every day. Down in Greenwood Village, the police chief there said that when we legalize marijuana, he said, nobody understands it and people are dying. It's a huge public safety problem. So from 2013 to 2016, there was a 40% increase in the number of all drivers involved in fatal crashes. All drivers, right? It used to be about 625. Now it's about 880. So we went from 625, 880, 40% increase. Those testing positive for alcohol in fatal crashes, that grew a bit, you know, a little bit, like 20%. But in contrast, the number of drivers in fatal crashes who tested positive for marijuana jumped 145%. 145%. For public school teachers tuning in right now, that means more than doubled. It had been less than 50, now it's over 100. And that's of the people involved in fatal crashes. And you know what? That sentence in the Denver Post article on Friday, they left out the phrase "in fatal crashes." I mean, what a perfect soundbite, right? You could put that on your website. The Denver Post, the number of drivers in fatal crashes testing positive for marijuana jumped 145% from 2013 to 2016. But they somehow omitted the "in fatal crashes." It's just like the number of drivers. So, hey, Vice News Network, they flew me out to Manhattan to record an episode of their Weedekit program. We'll talk a bit about that tomorrow. God bless.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled "God and the Death Penalty" is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order "God and the Death Penalty" today at kgov.com. That's "God and the Death Penalty" at kgov.com.